Darren, Kerry and Sky.
8:39, exactly, this hump day with Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. And it is time to chat to the good professor. As per usual, Professor Tulio de Oliveira joins us from CRISP at UKZN. He is one of the world's top virologists, virus hunters and bioinformaticians. And he's been joining us for over 54 weeks now. Good morning again, Prof.
Hey, good morning, Darren, and good morning, Kerry and Sky.
Good morning. Prof, we heard that you met Sky Shabalala in the flesh. How was that for you?
That was very exciting. I didn't know that he was such a strong man.
Strong.
It's not like all muscle, Prof. He does look like a rugby player. He got benched, though. But anyway.
I was very impressed. Very impressed.
Well, he said the same about you, Prof. He said that you're quite the looker.
Yeah, I love your hair, Prof.
Thank you. And thank you for the gift. I will send you a picture. With
yay. Please
Sky,
do.
Sky brought gifts. What did he bring you?
They bring me some nice wine, what I will save for when the lockdown come again. Yeah. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some nice shirts and chocolates and some biltong. All great South African
you
things.
You big muscular softie.
I had to spoil the...
I did the present again,
right,
which is
guys. Well, we've got the good professor for a short period. Let's use him. Prof, we heard that the CRISP at UKZN discovered the B617 or the Indian variant in South Africa, and it was sent to the Minister of Health last weekend. I think it was Saturday morning you were able to identify it. How were you able to identify the variant so quickly?
Thank you. It was quite an exciting Saturday. Yeah, so in the morning, quite early, around 6 a.m., we got a phone call from the NICD saying that they have identified the two first genomes of the Indian variant in South Africa. And then because we also had some genome sequencing coming out of CRISP that day, we all rushed to CRISP on Saturday. Mm. And then we spent the day analyzing both the NICD data and the data produced at CRISP. And we could identify not only four introductions of this variant in South Africa, but also 11 introductions of the variant that circulate in the UK.
Wow.
So now South Africa has multiple variants. What we know from the other variants is that so far it seems that we have done a good job on isolating the people. Some of these people arrived by boat in Durban, in the big harbor, and they have been isolated very, very early. And that's going to be so important in the next few months, is that as outbreaks happen and new variants are introduced in South Africa, that we act quick to stop community transmission.
Yeah.
And then, Prof, the World Health Organization has identified this variant as one of concern. How concerned should we be in South Africa?
Okay, so this happened 2 days ago, and I was quite fortunate. I am part of this working group they call the Virus Evolution Working Group. Mm. It's around 23 world experts that discuss that. So the main thing is that was not a consensus decision. Yeah, it was a split decision. For example, the European Center for Communicable Disease decided not to accept that as a variant of concern until more data come through.
Yeah.
So what it is now, it's a variant to really keep an eye on. And why we are concerned is not because this variant is much more transmissible. The evidence suggests to be not more transmissible than the one that's dominating South Africa.
Mm.
It is mostly from the sheer number of infections.
Yeah.
Yeah? And many of us have seen this dreadful images. Yeah. Of cremations and people dying.
Yeah.
So that's what we are very worried, is that if the epidemic gets out of control in one of the most populated countries in the world, that can spill to many other countries.
Prof, I was actually asking Darren about this off air. Should we not be concerned about the four strains of the H5N1 avian flu doing its rounds at the moment and South Africa's loss of the foot and mouth free zone status?
Yes, Kai. So unfortunately, we are coming to this phase of the world that's going to be a phase of epidemics and pandemics.
Mm.
Yeah. So in the last few years, we had a number of avian flus and swine flus epidemics. We have the Zika, we have the dengue, the chikungunya, the SARS-CoV-2. And that's why it's very important that both in South Africa and Africa, we act quite quick. And to be honest, that's exactly what we are doing at the moment, both with CRIS, but also with other partners of the Network for Genomic Surveillance. We are beginning to launch a new initiative that we call the Center for Epidemic Response and Innovation.
Oh, wow.
To try to put many different organizations in South Africa together to try to respond very quick for this kind of epidemics. But just to be specific, at the moment, the avian flu is only concentrated in chicken farms. So far, we haven't had a proven case of human transmission. But it developed a lot of economic loss. And also the foot and mouth disease. And as you know, that's because make a movement of livestock between provinces very difficult. So it's not only the human health issue, but also the economic issue. And that's why we have to come together to have a very quick response, a team that could go and control epidemics so we can go back to normal.
So the good professor is with us all morning, Professor Tulio de Oliveira. He joins us from CRISP at UKZN. He is one of the world's top virologists, virus hunters, and bioinformaticians. And we continue with the good professor. Prof, will our interventions, the ones that we have so far, be effective against the new variant and the vaccine that starts this week?
Yes, Darren. Our interventions are very effective, as well as the vaccine. To be honest, South Africa is going to be rolling this week what is the strongest vaccine that we know, that's the Pfizer one. That has to be one of the favorite ones in the world. Yeah, and we are quite lucky to get our hands in such a strong vaccine that works very well against the variants. Yeah. Of course, that one thing that is worrying me is personally, it was all the recently holidays and Mother's Day and Mother's Day, what is a happy day. And because I can see a lot of similarities of the last few weeks, what happened in November, December last year, that we just went mad partying. To be honest, this weekend, I saw quite a few big parties in my neighborhood, which is the same neighborhood that Sky lives. Oh. Yeah, now I'm going to chase him. Across when he go running the road.
He said running.
Scar dog run.
So that's what worries us. But so far, we know that the interventions are good. We also vaccinate 500,000 healthcare workers. And it's fantastic to start vaccinating the elderly, because that's the ones that would develop disease if infected.
Do we know when that's going to start? Are they saying Monday next week, 60 up? When are they going to start with the elderly? Do we know?
So we believe that the registration has been open. Certain provinces, for example, the Western Cape, we know that's very advanced. And I would plead KwaZulu-Natal to people to follow the registration. And we do expect really either end of this week or next week to start the process of vaccinating the elderly. And this week I spent some time at the St. Augustine Hospital, that it is the Netcare Hospital. And they did a fantastic setup there. Now they can vaccinate close to 2,000 people a day.
Fantastic.
And you might see the happiness, especially on the face of healthcare workers that saw how terrible this pandemic was.
So if you want to register, it's very easy. Just Google EVDS. Just Google that. 60s and over, you are now eligible for the vaccine.
And then, Prof, we also heard that you visited NIBS Funder Spay this week. That's amazing. We saw the great video as well that you did with Guy Buttery. So what happened at NIBS? What went down there? And also, how are the musicians dealing? It hasn't been easy for them during the pandemic.
Yes. So as you guys are aware, we started this quite exciting program called Jiving with Science, that we are visiting musicians to engage with them, because we think they can be very important on this kind of giving information to the public. Public normally listen to musicians as they listen to radio and radio DJs. To be honest, we should come visit you guys too.
Sure.
And it's quite exciting to talk at least with Guy Buttery and NIBS Funder Spay how they took the chance of not touring yet to produce a lot of more songs. And it's quite phenomenal, some of the new songs that they are coming through. And so they, well, both of them, they told me that they took that time to take some many of the projects that they have on the cupboard, yeah, and start composing again. And it was a lot of fun. We talk a lot this week about especially and variants, and that's going to be available in the next day or so on YouTube, and it's quite exciting. And then we're going to probably next week go visit Neil Gonzalez, the very famous jazz pianist,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to engage with more musicians to just understand how they feel and what we can see coming. One of the exciting things that I discussed with Nibs is that maybe we're going to move to a golden age of music in the next few years,
yeah.
because people really feel that they want to have fun, yeah. And then and that's again why it's so important to get rid of this virus, and yeah. maybe so we can have fun again and listen all the great music that
100%. I think so many people over the last 18 months have gone, you know what, never again will I say no to a concert in a park or a gathering. I think people understand the value of that now, and you're right, once we're able to, we are going to flood to concerts and gatherings and just jaws with other people as much as we can. Yeah, the golden age will arrive. So you're looking out for Jives with Science, am I right?
Yes, Jive with Science.
Jive with Science on YouTube. Thank you, Professor Tulio de Oliveira. The full podcast will be available on our website, ecr.co.za.
Darren, Carrie and Skye.